For 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Well, good morning, Arizona homeowners. Thank you for tuning in. I got a particularly uplifting note of encouragement from a realtor who's been here in town for a long, long time. And they said, Rosie, do you think it's possible that Phoenix is the fastest growing city in America? Because it's the only place you can find Rosie on the House.
Well, that's not quite true, because there you got Flagstaff, you got Tucson, you got Green Valley.
That's true. We are covering the state with information about your favorite topic, your home, your house, your castle, or your cabin. We're here every Saturday morning to answer questions you might have about projects, repairs, or maintenance that you're contemplating doing or find yourself needing to do at your house. You can reach us by dialing 1-888-767-4348. We'd love to hear from you, the Arizona homeowners. It's our goal in life to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And I was also triple encouraged this week in that we got a phone call from some new residents to the state of Arizona. And they said, you know, when we moved into our house, our neighbors came over and knocked on our door and said, look, if you welcome to Arizona, if you ever need anything done to your house, go to RosieOnTheHouse.com. So they thought, okay, we'll see what she has to say. And they've been in town for 2 months, and they've used Lyons Roofing, Water Treatment Technologies, and three others. And they just wanted to let me know, I wish there would have been something like you where we came from. So that just tickled me to death. That gives us some indication that we're making a difference for those of you that are already here and helping welcome those of you that are coming. And we can't talk about being the fastest growing city in America in the middle of the desert without talking about water. And we're covering it all month long.
The picture in our home maintenance calendar is a perfect depiction of the wet season we've had. And it's almost like, you know, we planned that perfectly in the calendar and had no idea when we put it together 18 months ago that we'd be sitting here talking about record rainfall, the wettest since 2008, wetter than the last two seasons combined. More watershed from the rain than the entire snowpack of last year into our Salt River and Verde watershed.
Thank you. So grateful for this monsoon.
Yeah, that was funny. Jay said that. Was that last weekend? You know, see what happens when you get so many people praying for rain.
Yeah, that's right. I took a hike through the Matazels. Just right at the base of Matazel Peak last Monday. Me and the dogs were out for all day, covered quite a few miles. There were places back there on the Arizona Trail, Romy, it looked like a manicured golf course. Hmm. It was some of the most beautiful, deepest green desert you could ever imagine. It was gorgeous.
Look at Mount Ord.
Oh,
my goodness.
Man.
And I did Horton Creek on Monday as
oh,
well.
Oh, boy.
And the forest is green as this I've ever seen.
Yeah. Hmm. So water.
And I was trying to describe water. This week was the 29th annual Arizona Water Law Conference at DoubleTree Resort in Scottsdale that I attended. And I was trying to, like, if you had to describe water to an alien, how would you describe it? You know, it's vital for all living forms of life, but has no life of its own. It is versatile in form, but has no control over the form it takes. It can't decide it wants to turn to ice or evaporate or gas. You know, it reacts to its environment.
Okay.
It has no control over its physical movement, but yet has movement.
And power.
And, I mean, there's rivers inside the ocean. There's whirlpools. The flood runoff. You know, the force it has when it's moving, but it's got no physical ability to create its own movement. It has no voice, but it can create sound.
Okay.
You know, how would you describe this? And in simplest form, it's H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. But how would you describe that to something else and describe its importance to our existence?
It's a big thought. That's a really big thought.
So, well, and you have time to think about these things sitting through hours of conference. Oh, my gosh. I think Arizona Water Resource Director Tom Bjorkowski, I butchered his last name, I apologize. I think he caught me nodding.
Uh-oh.
There was one time I'm like, hey, you need to speed up the pace of your conversation here if you're going to keep me alive after lunch. This is nap time. But
defining water.
But I had three big...
And potable water is kind of important.
Yeah. And I had... And I've got an interesting thing on potable water, but there's three takeaways from the conference that I got. I'm sure
Okay. Everyone
attending probably had their own, but everyone wants more with less restrictions. But also realizes that's not reality.
Yeah, really, that's tough.
After each session, there was a questions that was really used more as grandstanding.
Okay.
By people than it was for actual questions.
You're saying some folks had some agendas?
Yeah.
At the water conference.
And no one has any real-time answers.
That's your takeaway?
Yeah.
No, that's kind of a scary takeaway.
Every idea is met with extreme opposition from some other group or lobby with an agenda to get more water with less restrictions for their own use.
No matter how good or bad the idea is.
And I wouldn't say...
It's met with objections.
Yeah. And I don't know that I heard any bad ideas. And there really wasn't a conference of ideas and solutions. It's Arizona water law. So it was mainly
Okay. Understanding,
you know, the water law. And there was a gentleman that represents Northern and Eastern Arizona. Let me see. His name was David. I got it right here. David Brown. And he's, I think, a fifth generation rancher, if I remember from his presentation correctly. And he's also been a water law for 30 years. And he's got cases as it relates to what our topic is today, water runoff, and, you know, where you're pumping out of from underground and where it relates to underground water and river water and how close to the river you can pump, that are over 18 years old. They still haven't got a ruling on.
I happen to know Mr. Brown because when we owned the property in the White Mountains.
Makes sense.
On the Blue River, we have a spring that comes out of the meadow and drains into a lake that then drains into the Blue River, that then drains into Luna Lake, that then drains into the Gila, that then makes its way to Yuma. And I talked to him. I says, look, that spring coming out of the ground, I've talked to Fish and Game, and I think I'd like to build a little grandchild's crappie pond and bluegill pond there. And he said, well, I'll tell you this, Mr. Romero. We can start looking into it. It'll probably take about 15 years. It'll probably cost you at least $300,000 to $350,000 in my time. And the chances of you being able to touch that water is zero. He says, because you would have to go get permission from the Aachen Indian Reservation in Coolidge to even put a shovel into the ground to disturb that water flow. And that's where you'd have to start, and you have to work upriver from that. So that is the critical dimension that water plays in the beautiful southwestern United States.
That would be an expensive fish fry, too.
Yeah, that would be an expensive fish fry. It would.
And it's funny you say that, because the main theme of his entire presentation kept coming back to what he said multiple times, and it's not the first person I heard it say it, but money flows to water, or water flows to money. So that makes perfect sense.
Well, speaking of money and water, I'd like to have all our listeners just sit down for a minute and listen to this for 1 minute. Do you have any clue what goes on when us developers and home builders take a look at a raw piece of desert and decide we're going to turn this into a subdivision? The very first thing we have to do is take a look at drainage. It is the very first thing. We have to get some very expensive geologists, hydrologists, civil engineers, all people that have spent a lot of money getting their education, building up years of experience, coming out and developing and looking at maps that we've spent millions of dollars producing and perfecting. And that's the very first thing we've got to do before we take one blade of dirt and move it. We've got to establish, what are we going to do with the altered drainage of this terrain now that it's going to be roads, sidewalks, pool decks, patios, and rooftops. And they put all that experience, all that time, and all that money into making it work as a subdivision. And then your neighbor flushes it all down the toilet because they want a raised planter for their petunias in the backyard. More on that when we get back.